introduce lead pastor Mike Farley.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, that was good. Good. Oh, good. It was good, and I say it all the time. Like, there are times where I feel like God wants to say something. I feel like I'm going to jump up on that stage, and then Julie or Brad open their mouth, and it comes out. And it's good. He's good. Sometimes we make that statement from a history. Sometimes we make that statement from a past where we're looking back over a length of time and we're going, God, you've been good, you've been faithful, you've done it. And sometimes we make that statement in faith going, I don't see it. But like Brad said, that doesn't change the fact that you are good. And that's something we can always rest in. This morning we're in chapter 7 of Romans, and we're going to go through the whole chapter this morning. I'm going to read it all the way through. And then we're going to kind of break it up and see some different things that's going on here. And I feel like it kind of ties into that idea this morning that we're singing that God is good. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn. It's about that deep into it. Romans is in the New Testament if you're not familiar. And I'm just going to read the whole thing. Since I am speaking to those who know the law, brothers and sisters, don't you know that the law rules over someone as long as he lives? For example, a married woman is legally bound to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law regarding the husband. So then, if she is married to another man while her husband is living, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is freed from that law. Then if she had married another man, she is not an adulteress. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you also were put to death in relation to the law through which the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another. You belong to him who was raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit for God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions aroused through the law were working in us to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law since we have died to what held us so that we may serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the old letter of the law. What then should we say? Is the law sin? Absolutely not. But I would not have known what sin was if not for the law. For example, I would have not known what it is to covet if the law had not said, do not covet. And sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was living from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. The commandment that was meant for life resulted in death for me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and it killed me. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. Therefore, what is good become death to me? Absolutely not. But sin, in order to be recognized as sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that through the commandment, sin might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold as a slave under sin. For I do not understand what I'm doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but what I hate. Now, if I do not do what I want to do, I agree that the law is good. So I am no longer the one doing it, but sin living in me. For I know that no good thing lives in me, that is in my flesh, for the desire to do good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now, if I do not do what I want to do, I'm no longer the one who does it, but sin who lives in me. So I discover this law. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. For in my inner self, I delight in God's law, but I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man am I. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I am serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. The word of the Lord. I don't know if I need to talk about that. Like, it's all pretty straightforward. We get it. Check. Done. Got it. Absolutely, Paul. This is one of the, in my mind, and maybe not for you, one of the hardest sections of Scripture to understand, because he's doing this back and forth thing. He's talking about this, and then he switches gears, and he's over here, and then he's comparing these two things and constantly comparing and contrasting and making these statements. And it's difficult. It's difficult sometimes to track with Paul. The Bible even acknowledges this. Peter writes, and he says that some things twist the things that Paul says because he's hard to understand. Like Paul, it's okay when we're reading the Bible and we read some statements from Paul that we go, I have no idea what he's talking about. I do it all the time. This is why I own commentaries and I watch videos and I study so many things, because sometimes he makes statements that really are very complex. The first thing I want us to look at here, well, there's two things we're going to look at really today, is one that there is a battle that exists between the flesh and the spirit, between the law and the spirit. And the second thing is that we're freed from that, but first we have to acknowledge something, is that neither the Bible nor Paul is saying that the law is bad. The law is holy, just, and good. Romans 7:12, so then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. The law is not the problem, we are the issue. Like in most things, congratulations, you're the problem. That's just what it is. The law is not the problem. The law just tells us what is right and what is wrong. If you're driving down the highway and you see a speed limit sign, that sign's not wrong, it's just telling you what the law is. My inability to do the speed limit is the problem, right? Or we can think of like a game. We play a lot of Sorry in my house. So if I'm playing Sorry with Sorry rules, and Jack and I are going to play, and he wants to use the rules for life to play Sorry, we're not going to have a good time. Sorry. Thanks, Jack. I like that. The law tells us what the rules are. And the law is not just the Ten Commandments. It's not even the 613 commandments. It's the totality of everything we read in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. It's the examples and the stories and the lives that we read to tell us how we're supposed to have a true and right and good relationship with God. The problem is us. But we see, like we talked about last week, we started with Easter, is that the problem is sin, and then Jesus is the victor. He conquers sin. He destroys sin and death. He claims victory for us. He gives us righteousness and justification and salvation. He puts us in right standing with the Father. He takes our sin for himself and gives us his righteousness. And then we have this thing. But now a battle exists. We come from a place of victory. We keep talking about that. I push on that a lot because it's so important that we understand that we're starting from a place of victory. But like Paul's talking about here, our flesh is battling against the spirit. Galatians talks about this law. Our desires are contrary to the desires of God. There is a real battle that exists. Romans 7:22 through 24. For in my inner self I delight in God's law. Right? In the inward parts of me, I can look at God's law and say, oh, that's right. Yes. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in parts of my body. In myself, I go, I don't want to do it, though. I can acknowledge that God's law is right. I can acknowledge that God's law is holy. We can acknowledge that God's law is just, and at the same time go, I don't want to do it. Right? Like it's easy. If you've got kids, how many times have you told, go clean your room? Okay, I'll do that. They go clean their room and they say, okay, can I go outside now? I clean my room. Sure, did you pick up your clothes? I'll be right back. Come back. Okay, can I go outside now? Sure. Did you pick up your toys? I'll be right back. Can I go outside now? And by the time you're done, it's dark and they're not going outside. They want the thing, but within themselves, they don't have the ability to do it. When our daughter was little, especially Grace more than the boys, we couldn't tell her to go clean her room. That was too much information for her. It was overload. And like, at first, as a parent, I'm like, seriously, what's the problem here? This is easy. Go clean your room. Well, what do you mean? Okay, the things that are dirty, put them away. And the things that don't belong on the floor, put them where they go. I don't understand. Like, which part of that did I lose you on? But it was just, it's the way her brain works. She's not good with vague. Go clean your room was too much. It was too confusing for her. So we'd have to go through single steps. That's what God does with us. Because we have this desire. We want to serve him. We want to do what's right. We want to obey. But if he just says, go obey the law, we go, I don't get it. What do you mean? So he's going to break it down for us, because this battle exists within us where we do have a desire to do it now because of what God has done. But because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we, in the Holy Spirit living inside of us and him giving us salvation, it's the only reason we can want to obey him in the first place. Those who believe, obey, and those who obey, believe, but it doesn't mean it's easy to do it. So we have this desire conflict. The flesh wants what the flesh wants, and the spirit wants what the spirit wants, and it gets difficult. It's a conflict of interest. If spiritual warfare is hard for you to wrap your mind around, think about conflict of interest. There's a definition from Investopedia that's helpful. It says a conflict of interest occurs when an entity or individual becomes unreliable because of a clash between personal or self-serving interests and professional duties or responsibilities. As a follower of Jesus, you now have a conflict of interest. You have things that you desire for yourself. They're contrary, a lot of times, to what God has for us. The crazy, absurd thing is that he still calls us. That he, you know, I feel like sometimes it'd be so much easier if he just saved us and then just took us home. Because the work that we've got to do now from a place of victory, from a place of sanctification, from a place of righteousness is hard work. But we do it from a place of victory. But that means there's agony in the battle. The more you walk with Christ, the more you obey, the more you desire to obey, the longer you are with him, the more agonizing the battle becomes. Because you wrestle with this tension of, I want to do what you have for me to do, God. And I don't want to do it at the same time. And we it's not just the things that we think about as sin. It's not just the list of the do's and the don'ts. It's not just the examples we see where people succeeded or failed. It's everything. Whatever is not of faith is of sin, Roman tells us. It could be anything. As a husband, as a father, I have a desire to provide for my family that is put there by God. He has placed this desire to provide for my family in me. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. God has given me this desire and told me it's right. Okay, so I have this thing. As men, you have this thing. And I know men, I can't think of an example for women, so ladies, I apologize. I'm not a woman. Sorry, I'm not in the mom's club, Tori. We have this desire to provide. And we know there's a list of things we don't do. We don't steal. We don't knock over liquor stores. We don't rob convenience stores. We don't sell drugs. We don't steal cars anymore. There's all sorts of things. Oh, that last part was supposed to be a silent part. I'm sorry. There's all these things we know we don't do. Okay? As a man, you know I've got a list of things I don't do to provide for my family. That's kind of the easy part. The hard part is when you have a desire to fulfill the need that God gave you. And again, man, woman, doesn't matter, really. God has given you a desire to fulfill this need and accomplish this thing for your family, for your friends, for your loved one, for your job, whatever it might be. And then there's the spiritual way of you're actually supposed to be doing it. These things are often in conflict with one another. This is where it gets hard. The battle is not always the temptation to go sin or do something. It's to do it my way versus God's way. It's to accomplish for myself what God says, this is how I should do it. And it's hard because, again, I would love just a list. A list would be easy. I can follow instructions, okay? I can't follow a recipe, but I can follow instructions. You tell me this, do these 10 things in this order. This is what I want you to do. I'd say, thank you, Jesus. I can do this. But he doesn't. He doesn't do it for any one of us. Instead, what he does is says, listen. Quiet yourself. Wait for my answer. Still yourself in my presence. Wait for me to speak. We don't like that. We get impatient. And so we have agony and we have a battle. We have conflict of interest. We have this wrestling that we do with God because we want to do things our way because we know how it should be done. the more statements that we make that start with I, the more battle and wrestle and agony and anxiety we encounter. We're wrestling with God and struggling with him and trying to get him to do things our way. And no, don't hear me carefully here. The more you walk with Jesus, the more you start to have the right desires for the right things. But at first, it's all new. I mean, especially depending on how long you've walked in the ways of the world at first, there's a transformation, there's a time that happens where things start to shift and you've got to walk through that process. But it's always going to be a process. And the battles are endless because you can think of anything. Again, sin, absolutely, but also anything that exists. Forgiveness? Forgiveness is a battle. Forgiveness is a battle between the flesh and the spirit, between deciding, I'm going to do what Jesus said. I'm going to forgive the one who hurt me. I'm going to forgive my neighbor. I am going to forgive them and extend grace and mercy to them. And then the flesh going, I am not. Not after what they did. There's reconciliation, which is different than forgiveness. It's saying that I want to be in relationship with this person again. And then there's the battle of the flesh going, no. There's finance, a stewardship, creation, care, interpersonal relationships, submission. Anything you can think of, there can be and often is a battle between how we want to do it and how God wants it done. And we're learning to do it his way. And there's no quick fixes to this. There's no quick fix. We love comfort. We love ease of use, right? We love new and improved, 7-minute abs, microwave dinners. And now, and I've told people this before, I'm so thankful on the packaging, it tells me how to cook it in my air fryer. And it's marvelous. I don't care what it is. It's great in the air fryer. Biscuits in the air fryer? Oh my goodness. In 10 minutes, I have fresh biscuits all the time. And I love that. I don't want to go through the trouble of making dough. Waiting for the yeast to rise. Again, I can't follow a recipe. I don't have time for that. None of us do. We want quick fixes. And in our spiritual development, there are no quick fixes. Everything is a process because everything is God saying, it's more about you being with me than you doing this thing. He is so much more concerned with you entering his presence than with what you can accomplish. You calling on the name of your Father in those moments where you don't have an answer is more important than what you will do for him because he's already done it. Romans 7:6, but now we have been released from the law since we have died to what held us so that we may serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the old letter of the law. We died to a certain way of being, of living. We died to that. And every day that we exist on this planet walking with Jesus, we're learning to walk in that newness of life. We're learning what it means to walk in the Spirit and become people of the Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Everything he did was based on the Spirit's prompting to show us that it can be done. I don't believe it, but I've seen him do it. But I know where I fail in that. I know where most of you fail in that. And the beautiful thing is he keeps saying, come on. So what we're going to do is we're going to mix things up a little bit, and we're going to take a little sidebar and spend a couple of weeks talking about spiritual disciplines. Now, spiritual disciplines are interesting things. They're about becoming and not doing. Remember, we're starting from a place of what Jesus has done, what is accomplished, right? I'm going to read this. I don't need to read it. I haven't memorized. Galatians 2:20, right? If you're not familiar, here's Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. It starts out with, I have been. Everybody say, I have been. There's a few who didn't say it. I can see you back there, David. I have been. You have been crucified with Christ. It's done. Now you walk in the Spirit. So our spiritual disciplines that we're going to look at for the next couple of weeks start from a place of I have been. Everything is from that I have been place. So as we go through these spiritual disciplines, some are fun, some are not. I have been crucified with Christ. I'm not trying to get anything. You're not trying to get anything from God. You're trying to walk in what he's already done. You're trying to be who he's already made you to be. Now, there's a couple things. Glenna Marshall says, the reason we don't practice spiritual disciplines regularly is because we have too many reasons. And our reasons are excuses. A long litany of things we choose before we choose Christ. She is not nice. But she ain't wrong. Why don't we practice spiritual disciplines? There's generally two reasons we don't practice spiritual disciplines. Number one, we don't know what they are. We're going to fix that. Number two, we don't want to. That's you and Jesus. The reality of why don't we spend time, again, as we go through them, we'll say, is because we don't want to. It's hard. It's difficult. I talk to people all the time. Like, I just don't have time to read my Bible. Wow, you commented on my Facebook post. I guess you had time to do that. It hurts. We're like, yeah, but that's different. I need some me time. Fine, have some me time. Better to have some you and Jesus time than you time, but whatever. You're the one who got yourself into this mess in the first place. I'm sure you spending time with yourself is going to fix it. This is the reality of the situation. Spiritual disciplines are great because they do that. They just point to the thing and go, eh. There it is. Dallas Willard says, who wrote a lot on spiritual disciplines, says we can become like Christ by doing one thing, by following him, Jesus, in the overall style of the life he chose for himself. If we want to do the things Jesus did, if we want to walk in fullness, all we have to do is what Jesus did. Submit to the Father, know the word, spend time in prayer and worship, be willing to lay your life down for your enemies. Just simple things. Anybody can do it. So we're going to spend the next couple weeks looking at spiritual disciplines. And again, this is an important statement. I'm going to make it twice. Spiritual disciplines are not about doing, but becoming. If as we start to go through these lists of spiritual disciplines, we're going to read them in a certain order today. We're not going to cover them in this order. And you start to find yourself being obsessed with the doing, stop it. And do something different. Work on becoming something different. Work on being something different. If you start to feel like, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this, then just stop and pick a different one to work on for a little while. That will help you not become obsessed with the doing, but focus on the becoming. They're in two categories. The first category is abstinence or self-denial. These are ways of denying ourselves something in order to focus on God. So we've got solitude and silence. These are fantastic. They usually are found in pairs. They're two different ones, but the first one is solitude, and it's taking some time to just not be with everybody else. And silence to hear from God. Fasting, going up without food or something else so for a time so that you can devote yourself into prayer. And I heard this, it was really, somebody said something last time I was fasting, and it was really good, is a lot of times we talk about what we're fasting from and not what we're fasting for. So in our talk about fasting, and when we get to that, we're going to fast, at least for a couple of days. I don't know, Julie, you let me know how long we're going to fast for. It'll be her fault. We're going to fast for a while, but it's not so much about what we're fasting from, it's what we're fasting to, right? We're real good at being like, I'm obsessed with getting away from something, but we've talked about it before. We're always pushing towards Jesus, not just away from something. Sabbath, rest, not good here. Not good on this one. This is one I'm always working on. We're going to work on what it means and talk about what it means to rest. Secrecy, not announcing to the world every good deed we do for Jesus. And submission, that's a dirty word. Not forcing our authority, but instead submitting to other people in Jesus. And then we have disciplines of engagement. This is Christ and community, both us being in a community with Christ and being Christ in a community. We've got Bible reading. What are some Bible reading methods we can do? What are some Bible reading plans? What do we understand about the Word of God? Worship. What does it mean to worship God? Prayer. We're going to talk about prayer. I hope somebody has some answers. soul friends, engaging fellow disciples in meaningful relationships and ways, personal reflection, really looking back on, why did I do the thing I did? What was my motive? What were my actions? Like, why am I doing this? Like, we're trying to drive into those things and then looking at the book of Psalms some too. And service. The service is, this is a tough one. We're going to spend just a moment here today because we've got these, we've got the sign-ups. We've got Say Yes campaign going on. We've got all these things that need to happen for service in the church. I'm going to talk about four areas just real quick, four simple areas we can do. One is service in the church. Like, we've got areas to sign up for. We're starting a new volunteer position, still working on the name, but it's kind of like a Sunday morning director thing. So, like, if you're bossy, this is for you. Like, if you're like, you know what I like to do? I like putting people in their place. Then I've got a spot for you. We'll give you the list. You get to know who's supposed to be where and what's supposed to happen, and then you get to make people do things. It's great. Right? But there's other ways you can serve too. And as you look at the list, and I would ask you to prayerfully consider and look at the list and see ways that you might be able to serve somewhere in the church. If you're looking at that and you see kids and you're like, oh, that makes me sick to my stomach, then don't serve in kids. I don't need you puking on kids. But if you just don't want to do it because you're like, I just don't want to do it, well, then maybe you should sign up every once in a while. I'm going to serve in kids on May 9th. I told Crystal, she's not in here, I hope. I told Crystal, put me somewhere low impact for the 9 a.m. service. I don't think low impact exists back there, but I'm asking for it in Jesus' name. But Julie's preaching that morning, so I've got time to be able to go back there and serve in the 9 a.m. service. But there's so many ways that we can serve. If you think about kids and you're like, I'd like to serve in kids, but I'm not a Bible teacher. I don't like doing any of that stuff. There's tons of other ways you can serve back there too. All throughout the church, we've got areas of service. We've got women's ministry and men's ministries and children's ministry and student ministries, and we're coming up with young adults ministries, and like, we've got all sorts of ways to be able to serve and contribute to the life of Journey. Journey is not people on staff, it's you guys. The things you are called to, the way God has put passion and power in your life that like you feel really important about something, that's an area to serve in. There's tithes and offering. That's service. But there's also being Christ in our community. Like being the example of Jesus. Like the purpose of a Sunday morning is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. It's so that when we go out here and you go to Taco Bell, or you go to McDonald's, or you go wherever it is you're going to grab some lunch, maybe it's Cracker Barrel, you go somewhere, it's to be Jesus in the community. It's to be a witness of who he is and what he's been doing in your life. And there are so many ways we can serve the community. I've said it before, if you like, houses here are really tight together for some reason, right? So a lot of people share a lawn. If you, like it's like that wide, if you just mow your little part and leave this part, that's not service. Unless your neighbor is one of those people who, you know, then leave that side alone. But until they tell you, you mow that strip in the name of Jesus. So when next Easter rolls around or Christmas and you put up your sign that says, come to Journey, we love Jesus, they're going, yeah, but you won't mow the little strip of lawn next to it. Right? Like, we do these things not so that people come to church, but people know that when we start talking about Jesus, they know that we're genuine. They know that we mean it. They know that when we say, hey, you should try Jesus, he could change your life like he changed mine, they can look at a changed life. I think that's beautiful. And it's simple things. Again, spiritual disciplines are not about doing, but about becoming. It's not about doing something. It's about becoming something. Our struggle with the flesh, our battle that goes back and forth between flesh and spirit and law and spirit in us, our new us and our old us, if you want to just even use even more simple terms, is about becoming. God's already done the work, but we get to become like Jesus. There's an example I reminded of just now, and it's about like silversmiths. Like you might have heard this, like when a silversmith is working on silver, how do they know when all the impurities are burnt out? How do they know when the silver is ready? It's when the maker can see his reflection in it. It's the same with us. He's boiling out those impurities. We're just becoming what he's making us. But he's already done the work. We just get to walk it out. So we'll have prayer teams up front. Afterwards, after you go out, please take a look at the signups for things internally, the Say Yes campaign, and then the kids board that Crystal made that's awesome. We're going to have some fun the next couple weeks. And we're not going in order because I don't want you to skip something. So if I say we're going to talk about, you know, whatever next week, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go to Lubbock. No, you won't get to know. You'll just know that you missed something you wanted. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this time. I thank you for the fact that you are good. I thank you that we can just walk in what you've done, Lord, that you call us to rest. And in that rest, you're calling us to just be what you've called us to be, that we just move forward in that victory. Lord, I pray that you help us in that walk, that we see your hand upon us and that we know that you're moving. Jesus, we love you. We want to be like you. Thank you for forgiving us when we fall and we don't measure up and we're just going to keep messing up, but thank you for loving us through it all. I give you praise, honor, and